The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Drop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, those Monday Night Football games were pretty much one-sided affairs, especially the one that I thought was going to be the best one. But, I mean, that's just the way football's played sometimes. So let's get right into it with the first one with the Detroit Lions versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was all Lions all night. It was the Lions' defense really was suffocating the Tampa Bay Bucs offensively. I mean, it was pretty much Baker versus the world on that one because he really didn't have any receivers that night. It was pretty much slim pickings for him the whole way through, so he didn't have a whole lot of help. But even so, it was just not a good night offensively for the Buccaneers. But Detroit, they looked solid. They did actually have some struggles kind of a bit against the Buccaneers' defense on certain occasions, but overall, they pretty much dominated the night. They got the win 24-9. Jahmyr Gibbs had an amazing night, 136 yards rushing on the ground, 82 yards receiving, and then two touchdowns as well. One of them was like a 78-yard touchdown, I believe. It was a big touchdown, so he went off and had a night. And then the second game was between the Seattle Seahawks and the Houston Texans, and Seattle dominated this one themselves from start to finish. And Houston just looks so inept on the offensive side of the ball. I keep saying it. C.J. Stroud cannot do it all, and it's just so weird that they don't want to get him any weapons. It kind of feels like they lose weapons every season that he's there. He doesn't have a good offensive line. He has no running game, and then it's just it's pretty bad. It's a pretty bad offense, but their defense is excellent. Actually, they made a whole bunch of plays in this one, just not enough because they were on the field for the majority of the time. But the Seahawks got the win 27-19. Jackson Smith and Jigba had another fantastic game, 123 yards receiving and a touchdown in another big game from the Seattle Seahawks. Moving on to the Top 10 NFL Power Rankings this week. A new number one. I mean, not really new. They have been number one before, but they are back in the number one position this week. Is the Detroit Lions? They are 5-2 on the season. Put them back up in the number one spot because they took care of business against a good team. And they just are. You know, I mean, they lost practically half of their secondary in this last game, and they still looked very solid on the defensive side of the ball. And then offensively, Jared Goff, he's got 1,631 yards passing, 15 touchdowns, and three interceptions on the season. So he's just playing very solid, mistake-free football. Gibbs on the ground, 526 yards, six touchdowns. Amon-Ra through the air, 538 yards and seven touchdowns. They are one of the highest scoring offenses in the league, so they are having zero issues scoring. And then defensively, Hutchinson, he's up there in sacks. I believe he's top two, top three in sacks right now. And forced fumbles as well. I think he has four forced fumbles on the season. So this is just a very, very solid Detroit team. And, you know, I had to put him back at number one because they took down the Bucs, who were number one last week. And they did not fall far because they are number two this week on my Top 10 NFL Power Rankings, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Overall record 5-2. And it's really just, hey, they're going to lose some. And, I mean, Detroit is they're a killer, especially at home. And like I said, Baker was working with practically nothing on the offensive side of the ball. But even so, he is having a fantastic year, 1,767 yards passing, 13 touchdowns, and only two interceptions. So even though he's running for his life a lot, he still is playing some mistake-free football and really carrying this offense. But also with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their defense is really damn good. They are all over the field. Their secondary, they lock it down. And they just get at the passer. It is just something they do. So I really like what I see from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even though they just lost this last week. Then at number three on my Top 10 NFL Power Rankings, the team I think we have to now officially start taking serious is the Indianapolis Colts. 6-1 on the season. And the reason why I say we got to take them serious is just because they're actually just playing excellent football. I mean, Daniel Jones, 1,790 yards 10 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions. So he's playing really smart football and just delivering to everybody. He doesn't really have a favorite receiver, but he definitely has a favorite running back, and his name is Jonathan Taylor, who still leads the league in rushing at 697 rushing yards and 10 touchdowns. But overall, as an offense, the Indianapolis Colts have 27 touchdowns on the season. They are one of the top scoring offenses in the league, and their defense is really stout as well, too. I really like what I see from this Indianapolis Colts defense, and they are in a bad division. So if they just keep stacking wins like this, it doesn't matter if they suffer a couple losses or if they kind of fall off a bit towards the end of the season, which I really, like I keep saying, I don't think that's going to happen simply because Jonathan Taylor is healthy. Jones is, he's just playing great football right now. He just looks really good in this offense, if anything. But I think it's now official. We have to take the Indianapolis Colts seriously. I don't think this is a fluke. I actually think they will be heading to the playoffs. And I know it's very early in the season to say such a thing, but they are playing really excellent football. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 4-2. You know, they're coming off of a bye week, so 2-game losing streaks. But, I mean, still, overall, very good team. Josh Allen's their quarterback. What else do I need to say? Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Pittsburgh Steelers. Overall record of 4-2. Coming off of a tough loss this week, but it was their division rival, Cincinnati Bengals. And that's just going to happen. But, I mean, overall, still like what I see from this team offensively. Aaron Rodgers is just providing a great spark to this offense. Really, everybody is playing in sync. And they seem to be, I mean, they still had to, even though they lost this past week, they did have to dig themselves out of quite the hole, and they were able to do so. So they can see what they're made of and what they're able to do. And if they just keep it up, they seem to be growing each and every week. And then the defense still playing like the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Philadelphia Eagles. Overall record of 5-2, and they look to get right back on track this week. They right now on the season have 22 touchdowns total offensively. So they, even though they have that boring offense, they're still scoring a whole bunch of touchdowns. And it's we're used to seeing them dominate on the ground. Well, this past week, it was all through the air. I mean, Jalen Hurts, he had a perfect game, and he was able to get the ball to everybody on the offense. And it was, you could just see how potent they are when A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are just unleashed, and they're able to just run out there and go, because once they're out there for daylight, if they break a tackle or if you don't have anybody in the back or anybody in the secondary back there looking out for them, they're gone, and they're going to score some points, and that's that. So even though they had their 2-game losing streak, they got right back at it this week. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Denver Broncos, overall record of 5-2. This team, especially with what they did this past weekend, I mean, to score 33 points in the fourth quarter with only not even, I think it was like 7 minutes left to go. So you don't, it's like the end of the game practically. And they were able to just show the world what they got. I still think they have a lot of issues on the offensive side of the ball. They're very loosey-goosey, not as buttoned up. And it's tough to tell who's like their number one receiver. And they just have a lot to clean up. Whereas defensively, that's what's keeping them in the games. Defense is just awesome. Bonito, he's having a fantastic year. He's still up there in sacks, I believe. He fell to second place, I believe, this week. In sacks, but so what? He's still right up there, close to double-digit sacks already. I think he's at 8, if I remember correctly. But the Denver Broncos look really good this year. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Los Angeles Rams, overall record of 5-2, Matthew Stafford, he is having a great year. 1,866 yards passing with 17 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. So not only is he lighting it up with his 2 receivers, with Nacua and Davante Adams. I mean, Davante Adams, no shock here, is fitting right in with their offense. I mean, I figured he would. And then even though Nacua was injured in this last one, it didn't matter. They were just able to bust it right open and on the offensive side of the ball. But defensively, Byron Young, he's got 9 sacks on the season. He's actually who leads the league in sacks right now. And I don't think a lot of people could even name Byron Young, let alone pick him out of a lineup, or let alone believe that the dude leads the league in sacks. But he sure do. And that's the thing about this Rams team is their defense is really good. They get at the quarterback. They cause turnovers. They cause a problem for every opposing offense. And then you give Stafford back the ball, and he's got Devontae Adams out there. Now, I will say the thing I'm noticing with the Rams is they're not a very good second half team. They tend to get a very nice lead in the first couple of quarters or the first half of the game. And, you know, they'll go into halftime with like a 24-0 lead. And then all of a sudden they lose like they did to the Eagles earlier this year. So it's things like that happen. And even so in this last game, even though they got the win, they were pretty cold in the second half of the game. So I kind of feel like they're a team that has to start working on getting going in the second half, because that could cost them some games in the end, especially in the division they're in right now, because the NFC West is stacked. I mean, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Niners are all 3-5-2 right now. And so it's like these three teams are going to be beating up on each other. And even though the Cardinals suck, they're probably going to be beating up on you too. So they need all the wins they can stack at this point in time. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers, overall record of 4-1-1, and Jordan Love is having a phenomenal year himself. He's got 1,438 yards passing with 10 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, so he's playing some mistake-free football right now, and really commanding this offense. And then the defense is really stepping it up. Micah Parsons had a career day with 3 sacks in his last game, and that gave him, I believe, a total of 5 sacks on the season. So, and that already put him up in the top 10 for sure this week for sacks leaders. So that just goes to show he's already making an impact on that defense. Overall, I just really like what I'm seeing from Jordan Love. He's really just commanding this team. You could tell he's the leader, and you could tell that they go as he goes. Even if they're out of it like this last week against the Cardinals, they were out of it, but they know they could count on him on like big downs. I believe they had like a 4th-and-8, something like that in this last game, and they went for it. And it's just because Jordan Love is just a very confident, really solid football player, especially in this offense. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the Seattle Seahawks, overall record of 5-2. It's just this team overall is just playing excellent team football. Offensively, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is having a career year with 819 yards receiving, 4 touchdowns. But the defensive side of the ball, they are turnover machines. They've got 8 interceptions on the season, and they're getting at the quarterback. And I don't think they're getting a lot of love for being one of the best defensive teams in the league. But I mean, they are really making it a problem. And I'd say the majority of their wins are because their defense is so suffocating and so good and so able to cause turnovers and then set their offense up in good field position, or hell, even score the touchdowns themselves. All right, so let's get into week 8 and Thursday night football. Should be a pretty good game. It's between the Minnesota Vikings at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now, the Chargers are a 2.5-point favorite. And I kind of feel like these two teams are on the same kind of course right now. They both started out really good, but now they're starting to show some cracks, and especially Minnesota. I think Minnesota really, really needs J.J. McCarthy back. Even though he wasn't lighting it up, Carson Wentz he does not impress me. He just does not look good. It kind of feels like he is just telepathing each and every one of his passes. I feel like I could tell where everyone is going. And that's not a good thing, because that means the defense could see that as well, and that just means turnovers. And I just don't think he can't even really get the ball to Justin Jefferson. It's like, dude, this is one of the best receivers in the league. Just toss it up to that dude. I mean, real talk, it's basically like a 50-50 ball. If you just toss it up to Justin Jefferson, dude's got a shot. So I've just got a lot of concerns with their offense. But defensively, they are really, really good. There's no issues there. And then the Chargers, it's kind of the same thing. It's not with their quarterback. It's really just the injuries are piling up on the offensive side of the ball. Offensive line is decimated. The ground attack is decimated. And so it's just like, you know, they can only do so much. Herbert can only do so much on the offensive side of the ball. And yes, he's making some big plays, but it's like if he's on his ass or if he doesn't have enough time to at least make a pass, he's just going to have turnovers and or sacks or just stunted drives that go nowhere. So they really need to get going on the offensive side of the ball. But I think a lot of it is mostly just due to the injuries. Now, turning to the defensive side of the ball, they are a very sneaky good defensive team. And so I kind of feel like this is going to be a lower scoring game simply because I feel like both of these defenses are going to play a role in what happens in this one. And I wouldn't be shocked if Carson Wentz has another pick six in this one because it just seems to be kind of his specialty. But I'm leaning towards the Chargers in this one. I think they're the better team. I think they really need a win, and they're at home. Not that that really says a lot because, you know, both the Chargers and the Rams, when they're at a home game, especially if they're playing a team that with good fans that travel, like the Vikings, the Packers, Cowboys, Niners, lots of times you hear the away team a lot louder. So I wouldn't be shocked if Minnesota Viking fans are doing the skull chant in L.A. because not a lot of Chargers fans showing out in L.A. And when you know don't put a good product on the field, they're not going to show out either. But in this one, I kind of feel like the Chargers are going to get the better of the Vikings. Like I said, I just think the Chargers overall are the better team and are really going to scrape and scrap for this win. And I've got the Chargers winning 23-19. Moving on to the AP Top 10 in college football this week, we actually had quite a bit of movement in some of these. We had some upsets over the week, but we have the usual suspect at number one because, you know, they're 7-0, and that's Ohio State. I mean, they haven't even really blinked at all this season. I mean, they haven't played a powerhouse team just yet this season, so we'll see what happens. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. They're still number one and still the defending champ. So until they lose one, we're going to keep seeing them at number one. Then at number two, we have Indiana. They are 7-0 on the season. Big mover this week, though, up to number three, Texas A&M, 7-0 on the season. This is a legit squad, and it pains me to say that because I'm a Texas Longhorns fan, but Texas A&M, they've been building something over the last couple of seasons, so I'm really not shocked that they're 7-0. And they're competing in the SEC. I mean, they are competing and looking damn good. And I kind of feel like they're a team that a lot of people are overlooking. Now, with that being said, I wouldn't be shocked if they lose at some point along the way. But they are a really, really good team. And it pains me to say that. And this week, they will be at number 20 LSU. So they better not overlook LSU, even though LSU has been a shaky team this year, still an SEC team, and still ready to pounce, and still ready to take down A&M. And don't be shocked if A&M loses, too, because, I mean, kind of feels like there's been an upset every week in college football over the last couple of weeks, and it feels like every team that starts rising falls at some point. So we'll see what happens with A&M, so they better not overlook LSU because they are at LSU. Then at number four, the team that keeps on rising, Alabama. They are 6-1 on the season, playing great football. At number five, moving up this week, Georgia playing great football. They are 6-1 on the season. Number six, Oregon, they are 6-1 on the season. Number seven, the big mover, moving up five spots this week, Georgia Tech. They are 7-0 on the season. Number eight, Ole Miss. They are 6-1 on the season, and they have a big game this weekend. They will be at number 13, Oklahoma. So like I said, that SEC is beating up on each other. That's another SEC matchup there. But the big loser this week ended up being Miami. They tumbled all the way down to number nine, and that is because they lost this week. They are 5-1. They ended up losing to Louisville. So that's a big loss because Miami, they are not in the SEC. So if they suffer one loss, it is a big deal. And so they were riding high, and that was just not a good loss for them. So they completely tumbled in the rankings this week. And then rounding out the AP College Football Top 10 is Vanderbilt, another SEC team, 6-1 on the season. But they also have a big matchup this week versus number 15, Missouri. So we'll see what happens. But it kind of feels like we're getting some big upsets every week. I feel like Texas A&M probably has to be the team that needs to look out for the upset most just because they're away. And it just kind of feels like that team that rises just knocks down the following week. But who knows? I actually believe in them, and I hate saying it. I hate saying it, but I wouldn't be shocked if they ended up in the national championship, and I really don't like saying that. But that's just how good I actually think A&M is this year. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.